Come on.
What?
We can go further down.
On a sunny spring morning in Aquinnah, James Maurice and his six-year-old daughter, Akina, are poking holes in the sand along Lobsterville Beach. They're among the many volunteers who showed up to hand-plant 20,000 stems of beach grass along an 800-foot stretch.
This is how I make holes.
Yeah? And then what?
Then you make more holes.
The holes are spaced about a foot apart at the base of the dune, and into each goes two stiff spears of tan grass that resemble hay.
Hey, you want me to help you?
Okay, let's do it together, Daddy.
With sun and time, they'll become the green blades common on postcard-worthy Cape and Island vistas.
When you do it now, this time of the year, it's the wet season, gives the time for the roots to build up and everything.
Over the last few years, volunteers have planted about 100,000 blades of beach grass to create a mile-long dune in the most remote town on the island. The Aquinnah tribe has already suffered land loss at the hands of colonialism. Now, climate change is compounding the problem. But beach grass planting efforts are helping to shore up the fragile area along Lobsterville Road against growing coastal threats. Erosion, sea level rise, and more frequent and intense storms. Tribal officials say it's a race against time.
It takes, you know, one huge storm to come in and take that all away.
That's Andrew Jacobs, laboratory manager for the Aquinnah tribe. He says without the unsung hero, that is beach grass, there's no dune. And that's because of how this little plant grows.
The roots, they overlap, they intertwine, they create this beautiful lattice that really just holds in the sand. So you're looking at about, per plant, maybe about 3 feet of expansion, you know, in all directions that helps it establish and hold.
Dunes with beach grass are more stable when storms strike. They're the first crucial line of defense against powerful waves, protecting homes, businesses, and everything that lies behind them. Those dunes also provide valuable habitat and protect native and natural ecosystems. And they're fun to play on.
I feel so weird.
But after Hurricane Sandy in 2012, much of this dune was eroded, and even part of the road above washed away. Then, 4 years later, another destructive storm tore through the area. Brett Stearns oversees the Aquinnah Tribe's Natural Resources Department.
In 2016, where you're standing right now was about 12 feet lower than it is now because the ocean had taken it away. And there was nothing behind us between us and the road. There was just rubble.
Sand had to be replaced before the tribe could start replanting. And so far, the beach grass campaign has worked. But with climate change, the work keeps getting harder and more essential.
I've worked in natural resources for the Wampanoag tribe since 1994. And I think when I started this career, we were planners. And now I think we're emergency responders. I think that's the difference. We have to be looking 5, 10, 20 years out all the time, but the 20 comes sooner than we think all the time.
For the Aquinnah Wampanoag people, making the island more resilient is necessary to maintain their homes and their heritage. For thousands of years, the Lobsterville Beach area was life-giving land for the seasonally migratory people. It still provides members of the tribe with fish, shellfish, and places to forage.
And make a fire.
James Maurice says he's teaching his daughter Akina how to swim and collect sea clams in the area.
Being a member of the tribe, Aquinnah is where we come from. It's who we are. We are here to protect the land, and the land kind of takes care of us in return, you know? So
today, protecting the land means poking one hole after another, planting one stem after another to make sure the land doesn't disappear altogether. The latest effort was so successful that next year the Aquinnah Wampanoag tribe plans to be even more ambitious. They say they'll double their order to 40,000 stems of beach grass. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Eve Zuckoff.